Together. I'm going to ask Pastor Brian Thiessen if he'd make his way to the platform. Pastor Thiessen is the pastor of Mississauga International Baptist Church, but he's one of our boys. He was the assistant pastor here at Bethel Baptist Church for a few years in the mid-90s, and we're so glad to call him as one of our own. He's going to open our service tonight with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for that wonderful, matchless, saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can be gathered in this place tonight. Lord, we can meet in freedom. And Lord, we can share a common fellowship, a common salvation, a common desire to reach our country with that same gospel. And Lord, I pray that your anointing would be on this meeting. You'd bless every message as it goes forth from this pulpit. Speak to our hearts. Lord, do more than stir us during this meeting. Change us and help us to better reach our country and to better glorify your precious and holy name. And for this we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this dear church and their pastor and the people. And Lord, all the effort that's been put into preparation for this meeting. And I pray it'll all come to fruition in a wonderful way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are blessed to have Brandon Leanne Lake with us. Pastor Lake pastors in Bridgetown, Nova Scotia, and he's going to bring some special music throughout our conference. He and his wife and family. I'm going to ask them to come now and sing a couple for us.
Thank God for a testimony of growing up in church. I got saved at a young age, got involved in church at a young age. I'm thankful for good parents, and this is kind of a testimony song. If I could find my capo, that'd be a good thing.
I like to watch as a dear saint of God, as the Spirit moves in. And I like to see a man down on his knees at the altar confessing his sin. I like to hear that choir loud and clear declaring God's love for all. From the singing to the sermon, even if it's a long one, I must say, I like it all. I like the way that it feels when the Spirit is real and the people are in one accord. I like the love that I sense when we're gathered together and take turns to brag on the Lord. There is no place for me, and I'd rather be at the church house. I have a ball. From when the first bell is rung till the last song is sung, I must say, I like it all. I still remember when this attraction began as a child on a pine board pew. One Sunday I heard through the fire of God's word a message that caused me to move. That day in my life went from darkness to light at an old time altar call. Satan lost, it was over, Jesus gained another soldier, and that's why I like it all. I like the way that it feels when the Spirit is people are in one accord. I like the love that I sense when we're gathered together and take turns to brag on the Lord. There is no place for me that I'd rather be than at the church house. I have a ball. From when the first bell is rung
that there's more and more falling out of the race all the time. And well, I'd like to do whatever I can to encourage those to just press on. Amen. Our home going's not so far away. And so just keep on keeping on. Amen.
Appreciate that so much. Let me encourage you tonight, pastors, if you would get registered if you haven't already. We have some gifts there for you and some nice gift bags for your wives. Our ladies worked so hard to put those gifts together for you ladies. They made all those cloths, handmade and everything. And so I hope that's a blessing to you. Also, if you will stop by the table for First Bible International, they have a book for you. Every pastor can get a book or evangelist. They are still waiting. If you'll get a copy of that, as well as the current unpublished word. And those are here. Dr. Keene sent those up and wants to be a blessing to you. So if you'd like a copy of that, please get those right away. All right, let me mention, if you need Wi-Fi while you're here, pastors, you need to check your mail and keep up with things that are going on at your church, please just stop by our greeters table. They have a little card there with our wireless and our Wi-Fi password. Then you can have access to that. Now, tomorrow, there's a ladies' meeting at 2:15, and I hope, ladies, you'll enjoy that, and it'll be a real blessing to you. Miss Virginia Harris will be speaking. Of course, Mrs. Harris and her husband were coming here to plant a Baptist church in Welland, Ontario, and on their way, they suffered a terrible car accident, and Mrs. Harris lost her leg. Her heart stopped three different times, I believe, Brother Harris has told me. And they went through some great tragedy and trying times, but they have a wonderful testimony that she will share with you tomorrow. And I know that'll be a blessing to you. Men will be meeting here for a session at the same time about charitable law in Canada. It's not going to be near as fun as the ladies are having, and they get brownies too. But what can you do? But we want to do this tomorrow. What's going to happen is some of our staff are going to take a bus. And if you want ladies to be free from your children for a little while, they're going to put all your kids on a bus, take them to Port Dover and get them an ice cream and walk out on the pier and feed the seagulls and things like that. And they'll be gone for about an hour and a half and just give you a nice break and they get free ice cream. All right? Any pastors want to go? All right. But you're welcome to do that. Now, some people have asked me, why do you have a yellow tag and everybody else has a white tag? Actually, several of our staff have yellow tags. If you have a question at all, if you need anything at all, if you want just somebody to be a blessing to you, go find somebody with a yellow tag. And they've been instructed, do whatever you need. All right? That's the difference. So I'm going to have all my staff, if they would stand at this time. If you're wearing a yellow tag, please stand and I'll introduce you so you know who they are. This is Pastor Mike McDonald. He's our assistant pastor here at Bethel Baptist Church. Pastor Joshua Walsh, he is our youth pastor here at Bethel Baptist Church. Over here to my right is Brother Paul McPherson. And Paul, he's our hospitality director, if you will. He does just a great job making sure everybody's greeted and doing well in the church. And I'm looking around. We have some ladies. This is Brother Calvin Baker, just joined our staff, and he's working with our children in multimedia. This is Mrs. Faith Walsh right behind him, and she'll be glad to help you, our youth pastor's wife. And Mrs. Lillian McDonald, and she's our assistant pastor's wife. So, oh, right down here, my wife, Ida Fury. Stand up, honey. All right, I was looking all around, but not down there. This is my wife, Ida, and she's got a yellow tag as well as our secretary, Sarah. She's probably registered you out in the hallway and still getting those things squared away. So those are those with the yellow tags, and if you could see one of them, if you have any need whatsoever, we'll do whatever we can to help you and be a blessing to you. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to introduce our pastors and missionaries at this time. We're so glad that you came. We're thankful for your presence. And we want to help you and be a blessing to you. And I want you to know, folks at Bethel pray regularly for many of you. Every week we have several on our prayer list, and we pray for our pastors and missionaries. And we want you to know that. But I want our folks to meet you as well. And I'm sure there's some faces here that you don't know. So we're going to start to my left, and we'll just ask any pastors and their wives and their families if they will stand. If you're a missionary, an evangelist, an assistant pastor, full-time Christian worker, please stand in this section, and we'll go around and we'll introduce each of you to folks tonight. All right, Brother App, go ahead. Amen. Brother Epp was my high school principal, and he moved as far away as he possibly could. Amen. Pastor Rutherford, why don't you stand?
Pastor Rutherford, Beaver Valley Baptist Church, Montrose, B.C., and this is my wife Jennifer and my daughter Isabel.
Amen. Brother Hinn.
Chris Haley, Free Baptist Church, Winnipeg, and this is my wife Karen.
What you got there?
Peter Guthrie, Cornerstone Baptist Church, Woodstock, Ontario.
All right. Brother Hinn, go ahead.
Jason Canby, Faith Baptist Church, is walking here today, and a lot of family.
Amen. All right, this section, let's stand. All right, let's start right here in front.
Brandon Lake, Pastor, Amazing Grace Baptist Church, in Georgetown, North
Dakota. Amen. Introduce your family. This is your wife.
My wife, Anne, Riley, Eric, and Roland.
Amen. Glad you're here. Put a copy.
Baptist Church. This is my daughter Beth.
All right, this section right here. So right here, Brother Seeley.
Brother Seeley from Cornerstone Baptist Church, Carter.
Coming in tomorrow, I understand, just for the day, and so we'll meet them tomorrow evening. One of the things we wanted to emphasize at this conference was the duty of preachers is to preach, and our old college motto here was always the first duty of preachers is to preach, and so we've made that an emphasis, and I'm hoping and trusting that God has given us some preachers with some powerful messages that will help us and strengthen us in our work for the Lord. But also, we also want to emphasize missions. And so every service that we have, every preaching service, we are having a missionary either to Canada or a Canadian missionary that's going out, share their work and present that at this time. And so tonight we're going to have Brother Matt Waskey come. Brother Matt Waskey is going to Markham, Ontario to plant a church. And we're behind him here at Bethel Baptist Church. We're excited about what God's going to do. And we're going to ask him to come at this time and share his burden for the people of Markham.
Amen. Well, I'm proud to be planting a church in Canada's neediest city. And, you know, he said that it's missionaries to Canada or to go somewhere else. I've been here almost 11 years, so I'm not sure if I'm from Canada or to Canada or part of Canada, but I'm glad to be here. And we are, of course, planting Eastside Baptist Church in Markham, Ontario on October the 21st, and our Get Acquainted meetings begin. And my wife isn't here. My wife and my family isn't here tonight. They'll be here tomorrow. The problem is I've heard that so many times, I can't pretend like I don't know what that noise is. But I said, why don't we go and look at the DVD and I'll come back. Markham is 301,000 people, and it's a unique opportunity we have. Not only is it Canada's neediest city, but it's also a city that's very multicultural. And as you look at that map, as the world spun around, and you know, those are representative people that I know in the area, people that I've become acquainted with, and that only touches the hem of the garment. And we have 301,000 people. About 35% of those are Chinese. About 32% of those are Canadian born. And then the rest of those, if you look at the population chart, there's 1 or 2% of almost every nation under the sun. And so we're very excited at the opportunity. When I came to Canada in 2001, I came to Canada in 2001 to work at Victory Baptist Church in Peterborough, and I was there for 10 years. And when I came here, I didn't expect to go plant a church in the greater Toronto area. I didn't plant, you know, I'm a white kid from West Virginia. And that's a joke. You can laugh at that. That's okay. And I didn't plan on that, but when we moved here, and I can say story after story, but God gave me an incredible relationship with immigrants that I had met through work and things like that. And God began to burden my heart about planting that church. And so on October 21st, our Get Acquainted meetings start, and our grand opening Sunday will be on October the 28th. And in the first of October, we'll mail out about 39,000 John and Romans to homes on the east side of Markham. And, we can't say thanks enough to the church here in Simcoe for someone in the church here paid to the mail them, and then Baron Crest's Seed put them together and donated those. And we're so thankful for those ministries and the part they've had in that. And we do cover your prayers. We had our meeting place established, but the Jessup came down, and we went and looked at a United Church, and we thought we were going to be able to use the third floor of that church. And then and the lady said, no, the elevator goes to the top floor. And so I was thinking about it. I was praying about some things, and I thought, you know, it just doesn't look quite right. And so I went back, and I asked the lady, I said, can we go look at that one more time? And I found out that the United Church's elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. Boy, you all are either slow or don't have a sense of humor. I don't know which one. But anyway, we're planning on either starting there or somewhere else. We cover your prayers as we look. We had a place come open. I'm right in our neighborhood that's 800 square feet, and it's only $1,000 a month, and that's a permanent place. So if we can work that out, that would be a great blessing. But take one of our prayer cards, pray for us. If you can help us financially, that would be a great blessing as well. But pray for Markham. We have a great thing to do as we try to reach the city, reach the world through the city of Markham.
Boy, it's great to be amongst such great Baptists, isn't it? Great to be a Baptist, isn't it? Okay, here's what I want the men to do right now. All just the men only. Just stand up. All men everywhere. Just stand up. Just stand up. Voluntarily stand up. Count yourself a Baptist. Now I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to reach back. Somebody your left hand, reach back. Whatever it is, we're going to take an offering. All right? We're Baptists in the Baptist meeting tonight. We're going to take an offering. So if I'll have the men come forward at this time, you may be seated. We don't like to listen to change either. We like to hear the bills. Amen. Amen. Brother Tony, if you'd pray for us tonight for the offering.
Father, just a few days ago, about 30 years ago, Father, that you touched their hearts to reach this nation of Canada. And tonight, Lord, that our heart is filled with many here, Lord, that are trying to reach our nation. Lord, you're the one that gave the increase. We're thankful for it. And now, Lord, as we offer some money to help and continue the growth of this Canada, I pray, Father, that you'll bless this offering time and bless the services tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you now as you give.
Thank you. take our songbooks one more time and turn to number 628. Number 628, My Savior's Love. And shall we stand together and sing? We'll sing the first, the third, and the last.
Pastor Harry Strachan with us as well. And Pastor Strachan was my youth pastor growing up, and a big part of why I'm in the ministry today. He really encouraged me to follow after the Lord with all my heart, and I appreciate him so much for that. He's going to come and sing to us at this time before our preacher comes.
As we travel this earth, shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be.
The call.
preacher for tonight is Pastor Barry Rutherford. Pastor Rutherford has been my friend for many years. I remember when he accepted Christ as his Savior, about 19 years of age. He's the pastor of Beaver Valley Baptist Church in Montrose, British Columbia. So let's have our Bibles ready and let's give him your attention tonight. Pastor Rutherford's going to come preach to us from the Word of God.
Amen. So good to be here. Thank you, Brother Fearing, for the opportunity. Thank you, Bethel Baptist Church. I'm not going to call this home. There's probably somebody watching on the internet. It's funny, Brother Adam Church always used to correct me. I would tell them when I got out to BC, I said, back home we used to, and he would look at me confused. What do you mean home? Don't you live here now? And he reminded me that for a good, I finally got it in my head that this isn't home anymore. We have a new home. God has put us in BC. I'm so thankful to be there. We love the province, and we love the church that we're able to minister to. And I appreciate Brother Fury. He's been a good friend, and you'd have to go pretty far to find a better friend in the ministry. He loves the Lord, and he preaches the Word of God. And what else was it you wanted me to mention, Brother? Amen. I love you. I appreciate you. Romans chapter 12 tonight. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to get right into the text tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Romans 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for these men that have taken time out of their busy schedules to be here. Thank you for the fellowship we can have, the encouragement that we can have around your word and prayer, just in fellowship. And Father, tonight I just pray that you would use me just as your voice. Father, I pray that I would say only those things that you would have me to say. Father, we just ask for your blessing tonight. I pray that hearts would be prepared. Father, that they would be ready to receive your word tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice the Bible says here in verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore. Therefore. Listen, whenever you see the word therefore in the Scriptures, you ought to find out why it's there for. Okay? When you see that, you better understand what's going on. Paul writing under the divine inspiration of God is bringing forth application based on everything he has just written. Everything he has just said. Listen, we would really have to go from Romans chapter 1 all the way up to Romans chapter 11 to totally get everything that Paul is talking about. Now, I don't have time to go through Romans chapter 1 all the way up to Romans chapter 11, but I think Paul sums it up when he says, by the mercies of God. When you read those chapters, you can't help but be overwhelmed by the mercies of God. I thank the Lord for His mercies. I thank the Lord for that day when I realized the truth of Romans 3:23, where the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, I didn't know that I was short of the glory of God. I used to believe like everybody believed that, hey, one day you're all going to go to heaven. I realized that wasn't true. We understand also from Romans 5:8 that God commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. When we come over to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, we read a phrase that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. On May 16, 1993, sitting back in that back pew, I became one of those whosoevers. Amen. I remember it clear as day. I remember, I think there was a few people, I know Brent Bug was one of those that was in my way. And if he didn't get out of my way, I was going to get him out of my way. I believe I got saved right there in the pew, and I was ready to walk down, and I walked down here, and I can't... Who's the name of that preacher that was here then? Al Stone. I remember the first person I greeted as a saved man was Al Stone. And I'm so thankful for that. And I remember the message you preached. You preached, "Now what do we do?" We had come off... The church had come off a Sunday school contest, a Sunday school campaign, and we had a big day, and Brother Stone was here preaching because they were losers. And he preached a message, "Now what do we do? Now that it's all over, now that all the excitement is done, what do we do?" And I sat there in the pew and I realized that, hey, what he's talking about has nothing to do with me. I've been coming to church for 4 or 5 months. I've been coming to, I think, every service except for the Wednesday evening service because I was in school. And I realized that, hey, I'm fooling myself. And I got saved that night. I remember talking with Brother F in the back room. And I remember 3 weeks later I got baptized. I am so thankful for the mercies of God. I am so thankful that He saved me. You know, the reality is that could be you tonight. You could be here and you could be one of those whosoevers that's just waiting to receive that salvation from God. And God's looking for those whosoevers that will call upon the name of the Lord so that they shall be saved. And if you're here without Christ tonight, you need to make that decision. Listen, you need to understand that when the Bible says lake of fire, it means lake of fire. And when the Bible speaks of hell, guess what? It means hell. I don't care what the liberals say. I don't care what the fancy churches say. Hell is still hell and fire is still fire. And listen, if people don't come to Jesus Christ, they will die there for eternity. Back to Romans chapter number 12. Romans 9 through 11, chapter 9 through 11, the Bible speaks about the mercies of God really towards the Gentiles. I'm so glad that the gospel came to the Gentiles. I am so glad that it's come to us. But in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Paul is beseeching them. He's urging them by the mercies of God. Listen now, if you are saved tonight here, this applies to you. Listen, if you are saved, you know about the mercies of God. At least you should know about the mercies of God. And if you're not aware of the mercies of God, then shame on you. You should know about the mercies of God and you should be thinking on those every day. Listen, Paul says, "I beseech you by the mercies of God." Tonight, I just want to beseech you. I want to urge you in a few matters tonight. 3 points tonight. The Bible says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Point number one, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do you realize that every Christian here tonight ought to be a living presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, you ought to be showing forth the Savior in everything you do. In Ephesians 4:24, Paul commands us to put on the new man. And that new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Listen, he's called Christ in you, the hope of glory in Colossians 1:27. Listen, we are to present our bodies a certain way, obviously before God, but not only before God, but before men. We are to present our bodies, the Bible says, a living sacrifice. Now, I'm thinking tonight that that is kind of an unknown word to a lot of Christians. It may be an unknown word to a lot of preachers and a lot of missionaries. And I tell you what, that word sacrifice can be scary. You know, Jesus Christ was our ultimate example of sacrifice. He willingly laid down His life for me. He was beaten. He was scourged. And the crown of thorns was beaten into His skull. Listen, when he could have called 12 legions of angels, the Bible says, we understand that he willingly went to the cross. In Isaiah, the Bible tells us that he set his face as a flint. Amen. And he pressed forward, obviously, toward his objective. And that was to die at Calvary. He was mocked, he was humiliated, and he was slapped around. And listen, I tell you what, that is sacrifice. And there's no greater sacrifice than what Jesus Christ did for us. Now listen, in light of that sacrifice, in light of those mercies of God, God has commanded us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that means that you have to give something up. Listen, you're going to have to do away with some things. And I think that's where it gets a little sticky. I know Brother Jessup has got a presentation on the needs of Canada, and I don't want to take your thunder from you, but I think one of the great needs of Canada today is for Christians to learn that word sacrifice. Is that not the great need for Christians to learn the word sacrifice, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that concept of sacrifice, where they're willing to present themselves before God and before man and be totally yielded as servants for Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I always remind the people at Beaver Valley Baptist Church. The scripture says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Did you hear that part? That ye are not your own. "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Listen, if you're saved tonight, you are not your own. Don't go around thinking that, hey, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to call the shots. No, listen, you belong to somebody else tonight. You see the context in Corinthians there, and there were those that were committing fornication with their bodies. And Paul's reminding him that, hey, you belong to God now. You don't do the things you used to do. Ye are not your own. Listen, what we have today is a myriad of believers that have come to think that they haven't been purchased and they are their own. We have Christians that have the mentality, "Let me first. Let me first." We probably have a bunch of preachers today that are willing and content to let them think that it's all right to do that. Listen, I can't help to think that it may be because of the preacher himself that a lot of people don't realize the truth of 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Listen, don't be one of those preachers that allows the flock to become comfortable with complacency. Listen, the churches don't need more comfortable Christians. Listen, they need more comforter-type Christians, amen, that are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're doing what God wants them to do. You know, I've challenged our church to get behind the bearing precious seed. And again, I'm not trying to, take over anything here, Brother Stone, or step on any toes, but I like that bank program. But I do have some issues. This is what bothers me. This is what a lot of people have this concept. People have this concept. I'm going to go through Tim Hortons and it's, a dollar something for a coffee. Maybe it's $1.80 for an extra large and they're going to pay for the coffee. And then I'm going to take that change and I'm going to put it in the bank. Here's something. Why don't you give up the coffee and put the whole toonie in? People will say, I'm gonna go through McDonald's, I'm gonna give them a 10, and when it comes to $8, I'm gonna put that toonie in the bank. Here's a concept, why don't you go without that meal and put the $10 in the bank? I mean, I could use to do without a McDonald's meal. I think what will really help this country and reach this country is when God's people stand up and say, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. Amen. I'm going to start giving something up. I'm going to start realizing that there's a cost to what we want to accomplish. And they yield themselves to whatever God would have them to do. You know, that might mean giving up a career. You may have to give up a career to do that. You know, I get concerned sometimes when I see young people grow up. Why is it that our young people want to grow up to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, all those kind of things? I can't help but think that it might be because of this. Why is it that so many of you young people, our young people, don't want to grow up to, hey, I want to go do whatever I can to preach the gospel? Listen, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I want to go out and I want to reach as many people as I can. Listen, if we're going to be a living sacrifice, then we're going to have to give up some of our ambitions. We may have to give up some of our income. You may have to give up some of the prestige that you might want, some friends, maybe some social status. You might have to sacrifice your reputation. But isn't that what Christ did? I love 2 Corinthians 8:5, where the Bible talks about the churches of Macedonia and how the Bible says they first gave their own selves. I like that. Isn't that what we need to do? First give our own selves. I'm not talking about part of us. I'm not talking about a little portion of us, but all of us. Listen, you need to make life-size banks where the whole body can fit in. Listen, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Notice what the text says. It goes on and it says at the end, which is your reasonable service. Listen, in light of the mercies of God, in light of you receiving the grace of God and having the mercies of God bestowed upon you, did you know that your only reasonable service is to present your bodies a living sacrifice? That's what's reasonable. And you know what? If you don't want to present your bodies a living sacrifice, you know what that is? That is unreasonable service. That is unreasonable. Are you content to be unreasonable before God and to God? I don't think so. The Bible says, present our bodies a living sacrifice. It goes on, and then it says that word, holy. Holy. And I'm going to be honest, I think this is so confused in Christianity today. When God called a nation out of Egypt and wanted them to be a holy nation, you got to realize that He had a purpose for them. He said that they would be a kingdom of priests. When God commanded the priests of the Lord, His garments, all of those things in the tabernacle to be holy, it is because there was a purpose behind them. There was a job for them to do. There was a task for them to accomplish. Now today, people tend to think that holiness is forsaking sin or separating from some sort of ungodliness. Too many that live by that saying, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew, and you know it, I don't run with those who do. You've heard that before, I'm sure. You know, there are many that are stuck on what really is called self-righteousness, and they call it holiness. Sadly, I think many independent Baptist churches, while living Reformed theology, really denounce the tenets of it. A few weeks ago, I was preaching in the church there, and I was talking about tulip theology. And you guys all understand the TULIP, the acronym. I don't like it myself. I prefer something different. I was preaching because one of the things I always hear from these guys is the word sovereignty. You ever hear that? Where they talk about the sovereignty of God and the sovereignty of this and the sovereignty, and they go on and on about the sovereignty of God. And I believe God is sovereign. I guess I'm the only one here tonight. But when they talk about the sovereignty of God, it's a subjective sovereignty. Because they make God's sovereignty subject to their mind. Listen, my God is sovereign. That means He can do whatever He wants. And if He wants to give man a free will so that he can receive the gospel and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, you know what? I'm not going to stand in His way, and I'm not going to say that He can't do that. So I come up with an acronym for that kind of teaching, that kind of Reformed theology. The first one is S. It's called subjective sovereignty. T is total depravity. U is unconditional election. P, of course, is the perseverance of the saints. I is irresistible grace. And D, I've called deficient atonement. Not a limited atonement. So you add the letters up. It's S-T-U-P-I-D. That's the kind of theology it is. It's a stupid theology. Listen, holiness that doesn't reach down to the lost and dying sinner is not holiness. When we speak of holiness, listen, you go back to chapter 1 of the book of Romans, and you're going to see that Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. Listen, Paul was concerned about the gospel of God. He was separated from something, obviously. And listen, you should be separated from some things. And I think there's a lot of Christians today that should separate themselves from some things that they're getting involved in. But listen, we need to be separated unto the gospel of God. If you remember in Matthew 23, Jesus was giving a strong rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees in the temple. And he used some choice phraseology. I love it when people always talk about the nice Jesus. I mean, he put it down on the barn floor where the goats could get it. He just laid it out there for. He used the word woe in 8 verses. He says, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he goes on and on and on. And you understand that woe is just a pronouncement of grief or sorrow and misery. And this is what he pronounced upon them. When you get over to Revelation chapter 9 through verse 11, the Bible speaks of 3 woes that are going to come upon the earth. And when you read those chapters, let me tell you, Hollywood has not put out anything half as scary as what is in the book of Revelation. And there are 3 woes. You realize that Paul only uses the word woe once? It's in 1 Corinthians 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9:16. And this is what Paul says. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if what? If I preach not the gospel. If I preach not the gospel. I think sadly today there are those that show up at every service to be fed the Word of God. They put in their tithe envelope, their missions offering. Hey, listen, they'll go to the church activities. They will read their 3 chapters a day so they can get through the Bible in a year. They'll pray for their meals. They'll pray at the prayer meetings. And because they do this, they will be justified in thinking that they are spiritual giants. They will think that they are a big blessing to God. They are the pillars that stand in one place and hold everything up. A preacher once told me, he said, you know, some people will give and all they're going to do is sit in the pew. And he said, you learn to be thankful for those people. You know, when Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, I'm thinking that he meant that woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And listen, I'm not going to be satisfied watching people sit in the pew and not be involved in the ministry of the gospel. Listen, I don't care if he's given his tithe, if he's given to the missionaries, if he reads those 3 chapters a day, whatever he's doing. Listen, if he's not involved with the ministry of the gospel, you know what? I have a concern. And I'm not going to be satisfied with that. And listen, preacher, don't you be satisfied with that either. You know, I don't want to bring any disrespect to Bethel Baptist Church. I haven't been here for 14 years. But I remember when I first got saved, I remember the first time I showed up at Tuesday night visitation. I don't know what it's like now, Brother Feary. But one of the most discouraging things for me as a young Christian was showing up at Tuesday night visitation and seeing 8 people there. Well, why is it that there can be 400 people in the church service or 200 people in the church service, but when it comes time to going out knocking on doors or maybe doing some street preaching, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, the mice scattering when the lights go on. Why is it like that? Our churches are in desperate need of soldiers. Soldiers. A preacher one time was preaching on the importance of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And one of the members came to him after speaking of how he enjoyed his message. Don't you love that when people come and say, I enjoyed your message, preacher. Really, I wasn't meant for you. It wasn't meant for you to enjoy it. But it said he enjoyed his message and how he really tore it up. And the preacher asked him if he saw the importance of being a soldier in the Lord's army, then why did he not see him at the weekly visitation times? So the member replied, he says, I'm in the Lord's army, but I'm in the Secret Service. You know what? There's too many Christians today that are in the Secret Service. They're not on the front lines. Listen, you mentioned the word food. You mentioned the word buffet. You mentioned potluck. You mentioned activity. You mentioned fun. You mentioned shopping. Listen, you can draw a great crowd. You can get a lot of people out. But you mentioned knocking on doors or street preaching, and all of a sudden, where'd they go? Listen, preacher, if you're all right with people filling the pew and padding your attendance, putting money in the offering plate so you can get the fat salary or get your palm grease, but you're not concerned about their involvement in the ministry, you don't deserve the pulpit you're behind. So we need to preach to our people to be servants of Jesus Christ. We need to encourage our people to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. Listen, we are to be holy. That implies there's a purpose for us, and we are to be His servants. Listen, now, if you're here today and your focus is on clean living, praise the Lord. You fill the pew, you're in Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, praise the Lord for that. You go to the activities, you put the check in the offering plate, and I'll tell you what, I've always found that one of the easiest things to do is write a check. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. I feel a lot of people love to put that check in so they're relieved of all responsibility. Isn't that the way it goes? Easy for me to put the check in and then I don't have to do anything else. Listen, if you're doing all that but you are not concerned about the woe of not preaching the gospel, I'm looking at Romans chapter 12, and you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking you're performing an unreasonable service. Isn't that what the Bible says there? In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Your reasonable service. Listen, our reasonable service involves presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. It involves holiness. But thirdly, I want you to notice, it involves doing those things that are acceptable unto God. Doing those things that are acceptable unto God. I think it's a sad commentary on modern Christianity, but I think the average believer today is concerned more about doing those things acceptable to himself. Remember what our text says about our reasonable service. Listen, if you are not doing those things that are acceptable to God, you are performing an unreasonable service. An unreasonable service. Listen, Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Listen, tonight you are going to fit into one of three categories. You are going to live your life trying to please others. That's one. Preacher, I wonder if you've done this. Let me ask you, when you read something in your Bible and you ask yourself, that's funny, that's not what I was taught. That's not what I've heard preached before. Listen, that's not the party line. Are you going to side with the Bible? Are you going to follow the Word or are you going to follow the herd? Too many people want to be in the good graces of others rather than being in the good grace of our God. Listen, it doesn't matter what we've always believed. It matters what this book says. That's what matters. Listen, if you're going to be concerned with pleasing men, you are in for some trouble. I'm going to say something, and some men, I'm sure you're not going to like this, but there are some of you probably that are so set in your beliefs that nothing can change you, not even the Scriptures. What a scary place to be when the Scriptures can't even change us. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, Jesus, the Bible says, He answered and said unto them, Well, hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. And notice what the Bible says, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Listen, when you come across something in the Scriptures that is different than what you've always believed, what you always have been taught, what you always have been known, you better discard what you've always learned, believed, and known, and side with the Bible. Amen. Study it out and go to the Scriptures and see what the Bible says. When you come across something in the Scriptures that may be troubling to the sensitivity of somebody, are you going to preach it or are you going to cower in the corner? I'll just skip over that. You need to preach the Word. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? In season, out of season. That's what we're supposed to do. Don't be one of those ear-tickling preachers that preaches for doctrines and commandments of men because that's what people like. Preach the Bible. Listen, some of you may be doing things here because you're wanting to please man. Some of you may... The second category is kind of similar to the first. It involves pleasing man, but really it involves pleasing yourself. I think it's something we all battle with. Because we want to do what is acceptable for us. When Jesus was in the garden praying over that burden that was being laid upon Him, He said, "What? Not my will, but thine be done." If we could learn to say that every day as preachers of the Word of God, what a difference that would make. Not my will, but thine be done. Listen, the nation needs some of its national pastors to stand up and preach to its people. Not my will, but thine be done. Listen, we need to start doing things that are acceptable unto God. We need to make sure that those things we're concentrating on are the things acceptable unto God. Maybe it's time that telling someone about Jesus Christ becomes a little more important than a hockey game. I got a text yesterday from one of the men in our church, and he had mentioned how it doesn't look like there's going to be an NHL season this year. You know what? Praise the Lord. That's one less distraction for us. Am I wrong? Maybe we should be spending a little more time in prayer on Saturday night than trying to see what Don Cherry has to say. I'm sorry. Forgot this was a candidate preacher's conference. Maybe it's time that preaching the gospel comes a little more important than a fishing trip. Maybe it's time that preaching the gospel comes a little bit more important than putting in the 18 holes. Maybe it's time we're getting on our knees before a holy God, pleading for someone's soul. It's more important than turning on the television, playing some video game, a movie, the internet, Facebook, or listen, we can go through and name 100 different things. Maybe it's time we put those things aside and start doing the things that God finds acceptable, rather than the things that please us and suit us. At the end of the day, it comes down to this. Are you going to do those things that please yourself? Please others, or are you going to do the things that please God? Listen, preacher, you've got to decide that. You've got to determine to do that. You must, and I say must, put God first in everything. Doing those things acceptable unto Him. Because you know what? If you don't do those things acceptable unto God, you know what that is? That's unreasonable. Isn't it? It's unreasonable. The Bible says if we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, that's our reasonable service. That is what is expected based upon the mercies of God. That's what God wants of us. Now, if you say, I don't want to do those things, I don't know if I buy into this, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. I don't like that sacrifice word. You know what? That's unreasonable. You don't want to buy into this holiness thing. You know what? That's unreasonable. You don't want to do those things that are acceptable unto God. You know what? That's unreasonable. Now we get together every year. We call it the National Pastors Conference. And we do that because I think we are concerned about our nation. We are concerned about Canada. Tonight, what our nation needs, and I could be wrong here, but I think it needs some servants of Jesus Christ who are willing to put away their unreasonable service and start performing some reasonable service. It needs some preachers who will stop the unreasonable service and start with the reasonable service. That means sacrifice. That means holiness. And that means things that are acceptable unto God. Our nation needs reasonable servants. I wonder tonight, are you ready to be one of those reasonable servants of Jesus Christ? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray for your power tonight. I pray for the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts, to convict and minister to those that are here tonight. Father, you know that this country, the independent Baptist churches across our land need reasonable servants who will perform a reasonable service. Father, I don't know if everybody's at that point. But God, tonight I pray that you would let it start here. Let it start with me. Father, I pray that you would deal with each and every heart in here tonight. And Father, there is probably in a crowd this big some people that do not know you as their Savior. God, I pray tonight that they would leave this place knowing about those mercies of God. Save them tonight. Father, we ask you, bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just stand to our feet as the piano is going to play. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, this altar's open. Are you a reasonable servant?